Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, all you beautiful people. Thanks for coming back again for a half an hour of your life and time. I will treat that with respect and honor, give you something to live by, to love by, and to rise to an occasion. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS, which is to say bait and switch, or which is to say manipulation or coercion. However else you want to call it, love alone is the one credible human value by which we can navigate this world without having to BS people, without having to push and shove or try to convince people of something that we're not even convinced of ourselves. So here we are again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I give a couple of routine things here every time we gather, and I do it as a routine, but not routinely. I hope that makes sense. I'm not here to bore you with routine, but I am, however, here to make sure you can stand on some specific understandings. What's under your stand? And I give the Love's Creed, something I wrote about a decade ago that keeps me focused. I think I wrote it as a New Year's resolution, if I remember correctly. Anyway, I wrote it down. I've edited it a little bit here and there through the years, and I may edit it a little more going forward. So I'm going to give it to you in total. Then I'll go back and have you repeat after me like a couple at a wedding altar. But in total, here's what Love's Creed says. And if you'd like a copy of it, you can send me a request at randydeanministries@gmail.com. All right? Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Like I said, if you'd like a copy of that, I'll send you a full copy of that by email. But here it is in short bursts, and I'll have you repeat after me like a creed in a church or a vows at a wedding altar. Here we go. I'm alive to love. You repeat after me. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it. That in itself is worth a half an hour of talking about, which I won't do today, but maybe I'll come back and visit that again in future broadcasts. Today I want to talk to you about a quote that has stuck with me for some time now, and it is this. And I'm not sure the author, so I'm just going to put unknown. You know, when you have a quote, make sure you quote it. Put quotation marks on it if you're putting it online or on paper somewhere. But if you don't know the author and you're not sure, you can put unknown. That's a great category to give credit to somebody somewhere for having the brilliance and the forthright mindset to make a quote of this nature. Here it is. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. Unknown author of that quote. Here it is again. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. I'm going to challenge you to that, to rise to that in the context of love. Make a choice to love. Our world is full of entirely too much hate. Our conversations are riddled with too much me against you, you against me, I'm right, you're wrong, shut up and talk. We're overwhelmed with this avalanche of angst, this avalanche of push and shove, verbally and sometimes, unfortunately, physically. But we must make a choice to love, a choice that rises to the occasion of love. M. Scott Peck, who wrote The Road Less Traveled, says this: real love is a permanently enlarging experience. So to that end, we must make a choice to have a permanently enlarging experience. I may have shared this story with you in the past, but love it's a landscape in front of me that calls me to grow. My love cannot be static at any season of my life. Hey, I just turned 70. Y'all just sing a little happy birthday for me, would you? But at 70, I know my love cannot be what it was when I was 30. Because when I was 30, I was just a young dad. I was trying to figure out how to love my kids, our two kids. My wife and I were, we got married. I was 21, she was 19, and that seemed old at the time, but not anymore. But so we were young parents. And now at 70, I feel like we're young grandparents. And at this stage, we cannot love like we loved at 30. Love is a permanently enlarging experience. You could say it this way: we must make a choice to take a chance, or our life will never change. So in that choice, we said, my wife and I have said, look, we've just got to keep growing in this love life. We're going to have to see to it that we are loving more than we loved in the past, loving differently, loving in a more enlarged way. Here's the story. I came up to it and backed away, but a story that I've told here before. When I was a little guy, I guess I was, maybe about 5. I got a little dog by the name of Tiny. I loved that dog. She was such a good dog. She's just a Manchester Terrier mix. But that dog was so well behaved and loved me, slept with me, played with me. But when I turned about 12, and when we got her, she was a rescue. So she was, I don't know how old she was, but she was full grown when we got her. But when she was 12, she started having real bladder control issues. She started having some other physical issues that, she was an old dog. I mean, she probably was 14 or 15, which is quite old for a dog. Well, my parents made the horrible decision, I mean, horrible in my little boy mind as a 12-year-old, that we had to euthanize her, that they were going to have to take her to a vet and put her down. Well, that crushed me. I was such, a 12-year-old little boy loving his dog, right? I was loving at the level I knew how to love when I was 12. I loved Tiny. And when they said, we're going to take her to the vet, I thought, oh, good, you're going to fix her. You're going to give her a pill. Something's going to happen that's going to make Tiny live forever, right? That's what a 12-year-old thinks. Well, when they came home without Tiny, and they had euthanized Tiny, I accused them of not caring. They didn't love her like I did. Well, I was right. They loved her better than I loved her. They loved that little dog in a way as mature parents needed to love that poor little dog. And out of that love, which was not a 12-year-old boy's love, because a 12-year-old boy's love was, I just wanted Tiny to live forever, right? Well, not possible. And at that stage in Tiny's life, she was done. Her old body was given up on her. So Mom and Dad's love outran Randy's love. It was important. Now that's an example. What we all know in life is that when we love at a certain stage, we should own that certain stage will not remain static. We must make a choice to take a chance, or our life will never change. To make a choice, to take a chance, or our life will never change. See, now, as a dad who's been through a couple of family dogs, right, I've had to make that horrible choice to take a chance that our children's hearts would heal after having to euthanize a few pets along the way. That's a simple example, but you could take this almost to any category, whether it's family-related, work-related, career-related, friendship-related, neighbor-related. I say here often, Jesus said, I got one command for you, just one. I'm not giving you 10 commandments. I'm not Moses. I'm bigger. I'm better than Moses. I came here to fulfill everything Moses said with one commandment, and here it is. Love your neighbor as yourself. And let's put a little addendum to that, and love your enemy too. So love is the one command of Jesus. When I'm recording this, we're coming into Holy Week, and on Maundy, Thursday, the word Maundy is Latin for one command. It's the one mandate, the mandate of love. And Jesus demonstrated the mandate of love to his disciples by washing their feet. He said, as I have loved you, now I want you to love one another, which is to say, serve one another. So that choice, that's again my original quote here, is you must make a choice to take a chance or your life will never change. So the choice that and the chance, the choice and the change that Jesus was inviting his disciples into was the love. Love one another. And even if you got an enemy, love them. And let it be, as M. Scott Peck said, a permanently enlarging experience. You're alive to love. You're not on this earth for hate. You're alive for love. Don't breathe, eat, and sleep to regain energy for causing any pain. Be alive with plans, dreams, and designs. Locked into anything and everything that is love. Just don't be available for anything less than love. And that will keep you growing and moving along the scale of your decades and your life and your livelihoods and your work life. You know, in a work life, in our employing life, you know, we are all at some task somewhere for somebody having to rise to the occasion to please a boss. And I know, and I've had them in my life, some bosses are unreasonable. Some bosses don't get it. They're unkind. They're not compassionate. They don't treat their employees well. That's true. That's true of all of us. We've all been there. However, we must make a choice to take a chance or our life will never change. So, you know, an ultimatum for yourself is to make a choice. You know, you're going to leave that job. If the boss is not going to grow and be a more loving human being, well, then you must make a choice to take a chance and walk away. Or if you feel that this job is something you want to stay with, well, then you must make a choice to take a chance or your life will never change. Well, here's the choice. The choice is love your enemy. I'm not saying your boss is your life and death enemy. I am saying, though, there's an enmity there. There's a rub up against you in your feelings and your thoughts and your ability to function well. So make a choice to take a chance. And that chance, if you want to stay there, is love that unreasonable boss. Love them in a way that forces you to grow. Because M. Scott Peck said, remember, real love is a permanently enlarging experience. I need to remind you of a principle here we talk about routinely, and that is that some folks will push back on me when I talk about love. You know, I'm known for preaching love. I'll preach it anywhere I can, and I'll preach at the drop of a hat, and I will drop my own hat. And in the middle of the brim of that hat, it'll say, here's what I'm preaching on today. Love. I get pushback on occasion on a couple of levels. People will say, oh, you can't just love people. You got to tell them the truth, or fill in the blank. They'll say, well, there's something more than love in this universe, right? There's justice, and there's revenge, and there's wrath, and retribution, and all those other things that are out there. But I'm here to propose to you that no matter what the quote-unquote other thing is, it must be rooted and grounded and stationed in love for that thing to have any value at all. I interpret everything from the category of love. I interpret it all from the category of love. So yes, you can just love. You can stand in the center of love and just call it for what it is. Some people say, well, we need tough love. And I disagree. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe in tough love, because love that is love is tough all by itself. Real love is tough. Real love's got a little dirt under its fingernails. Real love doesn't have to be called tough love, because real love's always got some bruises around its body. Real love's got messed up hair from having worked all day. Real love sometimes sits in a chair and goes, "Ugh, I'm tired." That's real love. And sometimes love gets up with a fierce eye of the tiger, and real love says, "Do not harm my children. Do not harm my family. Do not speak in those tones of people that I love." Because real love sometimes will get up with a fierce look in its eye and smile and say, "Stop it." See, that's not tough love. That's love. Love operates in a category of its own, so that when, you know, we say we need some tough love, so when that fleeting thing comes by, you don't have to dial up tough. Just dial up love and look at an enemy and make the enemy understand, here's where I am. I love you regardless. I will love you. I loved you before you became my enemy. I'm going to love you after you became my enemy. I'm going to love you in the middle of being my enemy. And real love, with dirt under its fingernails, a few bruises about its body, messed up hair from having worked all day, real love might even get up and spit a tooth out and say, "Okay, that hurt. I love you." Real love is not some whimpering, simpering little wallflower sensibility that sits over in the corner of the world and says, "Oh, please don't hurt me." No, real love casts out fear, is what 1 John says in the Bible. 1 John says real love removes, casts out, disperses fear. Because fear predicts some kind of reaction that fear can't work with when love is its response. So when the reaction comes of more fear or more retribution, well, then fear just keeps growing. But when fear meets love, fear flees at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. Love is the kryptonite against fear. Fear disperses. And again, because fear might look into the intentionally determined eye of a real lover, a real love that is a permanently enlarging experience, just doesn't stay in some kind of stationary, out-of-the-way place. Real love. Real love isn't tough love. Love is love, is love, is love. And so in order for our life to change, we must make a choice to take a chance, or our life will never change. Rising to the occasion of love is one of those beautiful experiences that will urge you to call up in your life always to love and to love and to love. And as I said a moment ago, I get pushback occasionally. And here's one of the other kinds of pushback I get. People will remind me, "Well, you know, when I said or I did or I was with you in whatever, you know, realm of experience it was," sometimes people will say, "Well, you weren't very loving." And I have learned I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to say, "Well, you're wrong and I'm right." No, no, no. That's not love. Love says, "You're probably right, because I've been on a journey of love, and my journey of love has been a permanently enlarging experience. My journey when I was 20 or 30 isn't the same as my journey now as 70, because at 70, I have learned a few things." You know, I didn't live this long to be stupid. I'm not on this earth to be ignorant. I have learned along the way. So please forgive me. Please, if you can find it somewhere in you, to forgive me when I was not loving as I could have been or maybe should have been. But at the end of the day, if somebody says you weren't loving, I'm not going to argue. I'm convinced I've been there, done that. I'm convinced that even with people very close to me, I've stumbled and fallen. I've spit a few love teeth out of my mouth as I've face planted, trying to love but didn't love adequately or appropriately. I just know this. I'm alive to love. And I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love, and I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. And at that point, I want to stop and just say, I'm going to keep eating, breathing, and sleeping to regain energy so that I can grow in my love. Because I will take that make that choice to take a chance so that my life will always change. Again, the quote of the original part of this broadcast is, you must make a choice to take a chance or your life will never change. So the ever-changing expression of love I may have to own my reality that I was not as loving with some folk as I could have been at some times. There were times in my life that I missed the opportunity, or if I reached for the opportunity, I reached for it tepidly or anemically. My love was not as passionate or pure as it could have been. Because what you hear me say here every week is love is a journey. Love is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Love will keep you running when you don't want to run anymore. And I don't mean running away from anything, but running toward the goal of love. And in this pilgrimage, in this climb of love, we are being invited to make choices, take chances, so that our life keeps changing for the better. There's never going to be a stopping place for love. I am committed to the idea that my last words on this earth will be, I love you. I'm committed. I don't know, I can't guarantee this, but I'm just committed to the idea that my love will be alive while I'm dying. And you say, well, that could be an ambulance driver. It could be a policeman. It might be a surgeon. It might be whoever. It might be a loved one. Or then again, it might be some evil person who took my life. And if I'm looking at any human being anywhere, anytime, in that last breath, I'm committed to the notion that I will build love into my mind and heart so clearly, so much as I can. I'm not perfect at this, but I am reaching. I am on a journey. I'm on a pilgrimage that when my last breaths are being taken, I'm going to seek to say, I love you. Certainly, I hope it'll be a loved one, somebody I know dearly. But if not, whoever it is, my last words, I pray, will be, I love you. Would you join me in that? Well, if you will join me in that, then you should exercise that response in life right now. So let me reverse my order a little bit as we close today. We always close with breathing and talking about how to say, I love you. Well, let's turn it into first on this context here, how to say, I love you. Pull yourself to attention. Make eye contact. Find somebody. It doesn't matter who it is. Yeah, it can get weird if it's somebody you don't know. Well, of course it's weird. Of course it's a little awkward. But just imagine that you may change somebody's life in that they'll hear for the first time, maybe in their whole life, somebody took the time to say, I love you. If somebody's with you right now, stop everything. Be intentional. Get eye contact. Slow these three magical, charmed, and holy words. Slow them down into a perfect cadence of, I love you. Now let's go to the other exercise we close with, and that is breathing. We don't breathe well as a rule. I encourage people to learn to pay attention to your breath. It'll slow your body down, your mind down. It'll give your body a little bit of extra oxygen to work with. But if nothing else, it'll just give you the possibility of a little slice of a Sabbath in every day. So put your feet flat on the floor, set up straight, or maybe you want to stand. And grab the deepest breath you can physically grab, all right? On the count of three, breathe in deep and push your diaphragm. Here it goes. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. If you can take a few minutes every day sparse around, space it around your daily routines. And while you're driving, while you're cooking, while you're making the bed, while any activity, you can do this. If you can get some stillness, take a deep breath and give your body just a tiny bit of a Sabbath every day. God is love and love is God. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. He who says, I love God, who he does not see, but says they hate their sister or brother, who they can see, they're a liar. Because if I love the God I can't see, then I will demonstrate that love by looking at sisters and brothers who I can see. So let's be about love, shall we? All day long, anybody, everywhere we go, make a choice to take a chance so that our lives will be ever changing. God bless you all. Thank you for being here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. Now go out there and do something beautiful, folks, because ugly, ooh-wee, ugly is getting done to death. Rise and shine with love in your eyes. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.